Good morning and welcome back to Nach Yomi. Today we're going to be learning together Divrei Hayamim Beis Perek Hey, the fifth chapter in the second book of Divrei Hayamim. And now finally, the topic of this perek is the Shechina, the divine presence resting in the Beis HaMikdash. David Melech has spent so much time preparing, Shlomo Melech has spent so much time amassing and building, and finally we now hear about the completion. Our perek is 14 psukim long, and it is parallel to Melachim Aleph Perek Ches, or parts thereof. It is a short perek, and here's what happens in it, then we'll take a few moments to think about some points to ponder. The Melach is finished, all the work is completed, and Shlomo Melech brings all the holy things, the gold, the silver, all the vessels to the Beis Elokim, to the house of God. And he gathers all of Israel up, all the leaders, all the people, everybody's coming to bring the Aaron up from the house of David HaMelech in Zion, which is the adjoining mountaintop to the Beis HaMikdash. Everybody gathers together, and we know this is in the seventh month, so this is in Tishrei, as we hear about in Sefer Melachim. And everybody comes to escort the elders, the Levim, they are coming to escort the Aaron, and they bring the Aaron and the Oil Moed, the tent of meeting, all the vessels, they bring it to the Beis HaMikdash. And at this point in time, everybody's gathered together, they're sacrificing flocks and cattle. It's a really remarkable gathering that is happening, and there's so many people and so many sacrifices, you cannot even count it because of their multitude. And at this point in time, the Kohanim, the priests, are bringing in the Aaron into the Devir HaBayis, which is the innermost sanctum, the Kodesh HaKadoshim, which is beneath the wings of these large kruvim, these large angels. Then they sort of create a canopy for where the Aaron belongs underneath. And we hear about how their badim, their staves, their rods stick out a little bit so that you can see them from the outer area as they point a little bit through the curtain, the paroiches, and that is where the Aaron stays until today, Ad HaYom HaZeh. And the Pasuk then clarifies that there's only in the Aaron the luchos, Ein ba'aron rak shnei haluchos, asher nasan Moshe b'chorev. So it's the same tablets that were given to Moshe Rabbeinu those centuries ago on Har Sinai, with the covenant that he made with the people of Israel. And as they leave, at this point in time, all the Kohanim are there, Ein Lishmor Levach Lakois, they're not keeping to the watches, to each set week, they're all there, everybody's singing, all of the families are there, all the Kohanim, all the Levim, they're singing, they're playing music, it's a very joyous time, they're all singing together, and as they leave, we hear about how HaKadosh Baruch Hu fills the house with this cloud, Anan Beis Hashem, and that nobody could enter because the Shechina now is tangibly there in the Beis HaMikdash. It's a very powerful perek. Few basic questions to ponder. So we hear at the beginning of this perek how Shlomo HaMelech brings the gold and the silver. And this is where the Mefarshim deal with the idea that Shlomo HaMelech did not use the same gold and silver that was amassed by David HaMelech, his father. Why did he not do that? So the Malbim says, the Chida and Rashi quote the following, saying that he did not want it to be. He knew the Beis HaMikdash would ultimately be destroyed, and when it would be destroyed, he did not want those enemies, those nations of the world, to say the reason it was destroyed was because it was made with the money that David HaMelech plundered from our nations, from our cultures, which is why our culture is ultimately prevailing. He didn't want to give them that excuse. So he used it out of his own money, which he earned and traded rather than conquered. Another possibility is that there was a drought of 3 years from the time that Shlomo HaMelech took the throne as a young man. And what he decided to do, this was part of his test, was to reappropriate the monies that David HaMelech had saved for the Beis HaMikdash to give to the poor people, to those who are at risk of starvation. He reappropriated those monies and needed to re-amass it, which goes to show you what is it that HaKadosh Baruch Hu really wants from us. Sometimes even more than the Mikdash is looking after Klal Yisrael, which is a very powerful lesson. The Malbim says that we don't have to read it this way necessarily. The Malbim says that it's referring to the remaining money. Whatever was left over is what he brought. We move on to the next question, and that is, it says that they brought all, in Pasuk Hey, all the of the vessels in the Ohel Moed, the tent of meeting. The Ohel Moed is the way to use to describe the Mishkan. So what is actually being brought? The Radak says it refers to the Mizbeach and all the remaining implements of the Mishkan, which were at this point in time in Givon. Remember, the Mishkan had been in Shiloh for 3 centuries, then it was destroyed at the times of Eli. It went to Nov, then when Nov was destroyed by Shaul HaMelech, it went to Givon. And Givon had remained until this point in time, and then they transmigrated all of those instruments to the Beis HaMikdash as well. However, the Radak does point out that the implements which could no longer be used, like the Mizbeach itself, because it was too small, they buried. But implements like the Shulchan and the Menorah, which were used in the Beis HaMikdash, were introduced into the Beis HaMikdash at this point in time. Very interesting question over here surrounds one of the verbs used to describe the staves, the poles of the Aron. It says Vayarichu es abadim. Vayarichu means to say they lengthened. Why is that necessary? Well, if you remember, in the Mishkan, the dimensions of the Kodesh Kedoshim, the innermost sanctum, is 10 by 10 amos, 10 by 10 cubits. Whereas in the Beis HaMikdash, it's 20 by 20. So if we assume that the Aron is in the center, under the canopy of the wings of these large angels, how could it be that the staves of 10 amos could be sticking out to the Paroichas? So Rashi quotes a dispute between the sages of the Mishnah. Rabbi Nosson would say that they put new poles in of 20 amos each. They created new staves for the Aron in the Beis HaMikdash so that it would extend to the whole room. Rabbi says that no, the Kohanim were about to bring it in, but they couldn't get to the center of the room because the cloud filled it. And when the cloud filled, they left immediately, so the Aron was towards the front of the room, or the entrance of the room, which is why the poles were sticking out. Rabbeinu Bechaye in Shmos, Perikov Zayin, Pasuk Vav, actually points out that they grew miraculously, meaning the same staves grew longer. That's the word vayarichu, that they were lengthened miraculously. One of the interesting words that's used to describe the Aron is that it says the Aron, the Ark of the Covenant in Pasuk Tes, stayed there vayisham ad hayamazeh, until today. So when is the day today? So the Metzudos points out that even though Ezra's writing it, he meant till the time that Yoshea Melech hid the Aron. He found it, he put it in the catacombs beneath the base of Migdash, and he saved it because he realized the destruction was imminent. Once he heard the prophecy of Chulda HaNeviah, that the destruction could not be avoided. The Gemara in Yuma on Nun Gimel and Beis capitalizes on this and points out that the Aron was never exiled. So Ad Hayom Hazeh means to say that Ezra is saying the Aron was never taken to captivity once again. The phrase that's used to describe what is in the Aron is a little ambiguous. It describes Ein Baron Rak. There's only in the Aron the Luchos, these tablets. So the Gemara in Baba Basra on Daf Yudal Adum Beis is discussing this topic and says, well, that's actually what's called a miot achar miot, a double exclusion. A double exclusion actually includes, it's a double negative. So what it means to say is actually not that there wasn't anything else in there, actually there was. There was the broken Luchos as well, the broken tablets number one, and also the Sefer Torah that Moshe Rabbeinu wrote. He wrote 13 Sefer Torah before he died. One of them remained in the innermost sanctum, in the Aron, where actually in the Aron underneath the cover on a ledge on the side. The Gemara just debates that. And then another 12, one for each tribe. And in fact, the practice was that this Torah that was kept in the Aron was used as as the checking Torah. It was the gold standard for all other Sefer Torah that were written. In fact, Tosos and Baba Basra says that although the Kohen Gadol could only enter the Kodesh HaKadoshim once a year on Yom Kippur, that if they needed to write a new Sefer Torah, that he would be allowed to go in to take the Torah out to compare it to the new Sefer Torah. So that's another time that they would be allowed in to look at the Sefer Torah as well. Very, very interesting perspective of here. The Abarinel does point out that in Masechet Shkolim, Daf Tesamun Aleph, there's a machlokes between Rabbi Yehuda ben Bar Ilai and the Chachamim. Rabbi Yehuda understands that there were actually two Aronos, two separate arks, whereas the Chachamim said there were only one. And he points out that Abarinel says that historically, the Ral Dbag, the Radak, take the opinion that there are two Aronos. That's why one of the ones that went into exile by the Philistines was the second, the one that went to war, but the other one remained. Whereas the Abarbanel says the Ramban follows the Chachamim, there was only one Aron. The Abarbanel characteristically says, I went through all the proofs of Rabbi Yehuda ben Eli, and it seems that he was wrong. The Chachamim were correct in this instance. The proofs, he said, do not add up. And the Chachamim were correct, and he says the Ramban is correct. There was only one Aron, and this is it, and it had everything else in here. The other implements, like the Tzinsenes Aman, the jar of manna and the staff, were actually not in the Aron. They were in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, but they were not in it itself. We see an interesting thing at the end of the parak where we hear about the people not keeping to their guard duties. You know, there were 24 mishmaros, different guard duties for the Levium, different groups of the Levium, the Kohanim, but all of them were at hand for the ceremony, for the sanctification of the Beis HaMikdash. And the Radak says it was out of necessity too, because there were so many of the nation of Israel there that they needed so many people to officiate this entire ceremony as well. And finally, we hear the cloud filling the Mishkan. What's the significance of this? The Metzudos points out that it was following the singing the Halel HaGadol, the 26th line Halel of Hodol Hashem Kitov Kilo Lam Chastoi. Rashi says it's because they sang it together. That's what precipitated the Shechina. And the image that we get is really the closing of the book of Shmos, when Moshe Rabbeinu successfully creates the Mishkan and Hashem's glory enters the Mishkan, we have that same incredible magical moment where all the actions of the human beings have created a sanctuary for the divine, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu responds in kind by saying and by showing that ultimately he wishes to reside among us for the efforts that we made for him. We should be zochim to see that ourselves. In the meantime, have a wonderful and meaningful day.